meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our time.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. A good Tuesday. A happy Tuesday. I'm your brother, Father Anthony. I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. So it's a good Tuesday.
It's a joyous
very
Tuesday.
Good, you know what makes
the best
this the best Tuesday? Well, look what the
cat dragged in.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
Well.
I was going to say, don't they say, look what the wind blew
right
in?
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. What? Happy birthday, Jerry.
Happy
thank
birthday,
you, Father.
Birthday, Jerry.
Thank you.
We miss you.
Very nice birthday.
So,
I miss you guys.
Yeah, we're really blessed to have Geraldine with us. Happy birthday.
There you go, Nick.
Nice.
It's beautiful.
Happy birthday, Jerry. Yeah,
thank you very much.
And welcome back, too. So,
and by the way, there's somebody more important than you who celebrates her birthday today, his birthday today.
I can't imagine who.
Well,
more
and
important
and
than Jerry?
Yes.
No, that cannot
well, no,
be.
No,
that's
I don't
impossible.
I don't,
no, that's just not right.
Let
no,
me say
no,
more
no.
World renowned.
Okay.
Ooh. A little bit more known than you.
Oh.
Well, and I have this sneaking suspicion that perhaps he took part of his name from your name.
I have no idea.
No kidding.
Yes?
I don't know.
Now, your name is Geraldine.
That's right. It
begins with a G.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Prince George.
Get Prince out. George.
Oh.
Today's his birthday, his first birthday.
Okay.
Oh, Prince George.
Prince George of Great Britain.
Right.
The son of Harry or Larry or one of the... Who Henry.
One of
who?
Not Harry or Larry.
He's the son of who? Prince, what's his name?
I
think Harry's the other one. I don't.
It's not Harry. It's
no.
the other one.
The other,
guy.
The other
William.
The one.
William. William.
Thank
William.
You.
William.
Nice.
William. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I'll be
so
darned.
Yeah, he was born
oh,
on your birthday.
Gosh.
Oh.
How providential.
Yeah, but who came first?
Who came first?
Yeah, that's what matters.
Right. Well, of course we know you came first, but I mean, but he chose. they chose the G for the. You know, his name is George.
George. Yes, yes.
It's not too
George
far away from
jungle,
Geraldine.
No,
see, he's a prince and Jerry's a queen.
Oh,
yeah.
So she overrides
the difference.
Exactly.
Good so, one. Good.
Happy
one.
Birthday. How have you been? What's been going on?
Good. Good. Would you like me to tell you everything that I've done
well,
since?
Well, not everything. Not everything.
Oh, okay.
Just, we've only got an hour.
No, I've been fine. I'm good. I'm good. And I'm especially good today because I'm here with people that I love. Yeah.
Yeah, and you are.
And we
loved.
Love you too.
We love
Jerry.
You too. Maybe not as much as you love us, but no, we really do. And it was nice, you know, you came in early this morning.
Yes.
I guess
yes.
What is the cat drew the cat dragged you in early this morning? What
yes.
did you say? The cat dragged you? I never
cat
heard of that.
Look what the cat dragged in. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right?
It's an old expression,
wow.
Father.
Yeah. No, with the wind blew in.
The wind blew in.
This morning, so you were there for the 6:15 Mass. It was kind of nice.
I love that.
And then,
love
and
being
then,
there.
And then after the Mass, who was so kind as to make you coffee?
Oh, Father Anthony.
Yeah.
Father
yes.
made some coffee.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
Haven't had an opportunity to be so kind for so long.
I know.
To you, you know. But anyway, and then it's just been a day. I've just watched the gifts coming all morning.
Yes.
You know, people have been bringing
such a joyous occasion.
Get all the hugs and the presents
yes.
and all that. So.
Oh well, Tony yeah. brought.
What did he bring?
He brought.
This will be entertaining even for radio.
It
Check
opened
that
it up,
out.
Jerry. The cats are dancing. Oh, dogs.
Dogs. All the dogs on a conga line.
I'm trying to. Who's the what's
Gloria Stefan?
Ah, yeah.
I love Gloria Stefan.
I love her voice.
But Jerry can guess which of us are the dogs, because there's a bunch of minor dogs.
Well, now you're calling us dogs.
Let the dogs out.
I take offense
to that. Is
that
you with the tutu, Tony?
No, that's not.
Let the dogs out.
It's very nice. Thank you.
Beautiful.
So what's happening in your life? What's going on? How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I am. Things slow down.
Sure.
They settle down. And that's, I like being in a place where I'm settled down.
Yeah.
Because when I get too anxious in my head, I'm no good.
You're right. We know that.
You've seen it.
Jerry, you look great.
You look great.
Yeah.
No, you look good. You've made our day. You've made it a happy day for us. And by the way, and we're not going to complain about the weather by no means, because we had this horrific winter. But this is probably one of the hotter days of the summer.
Right.
Hot and humid.
Yes.
And this is exactly what you ordered.
Exactly.
What you wanted.
Mm-hmm. She got her wishes.
You got, and thank God tomorrow it'll.
A reprieve for all of you, yes.
Down to the 70s.
But she got it on her birthday.
But it's good, yeah.
I know.
Very nice. Excellent. Well, we're really happy to have you, Jerry.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You've recuperated well, and you're getting around and all that. It's just that you kind of stay in your own neck of the woods over there.
Yeah.
So that's, what would you call that area where you live?
The northwest side of Chicago.
Not going to give your address away or anything like that.
No, not for the stalkers.
All the stalkers are going to try to. You tend to do that. You give everybody's address.
Exactly. I don't do that. But when you do that, that's what happens.
Right.
Yes.
Everybody's asking, where does she live?
Keep the creeps away.
Keep the creeps away.
Anyway, be kind. All right. Do you have any thoughts, anything you want to share with us? Any
words of wisdom?
Words of wisdom?
The only thought I've had in the past days
the only thought.
Is because, this year I'm 79.
Wow.
I have no idea where the 70s went.
That's awesome.
Wow.
It is truly remarkable.
79?
I know.
I can't even imagine.
You never knew anybody that old. Wow. Yes, you have. But.
I love the 70s.
And I take myself back to when I was in grammar school.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. You remember.
A long time ago. I can remember.
You can think back that far.
I know.
She's got a great memory for.
And the thing is.
But although they say the older you get, the more you remember.
The old things.
Yeah.
Not what happened yesterday.
Because you didn't remember my name today.
I know what your name
did
is.
Did you? Okay.
It's Father Anthony.
Right, okay.
Yes.
I just want to say. Okay. Yes. So what happened? So when you way back then.
Going back to that time, it's funny how time is. There's a thing in the Bible that talks about. All time is all the same to God.
Right.
One day is like any time.
It's, right.
And I see that in my life with grammar school.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed there's so many things that happen between the time I was in kindergarten and I went to and I graduated from grammar school.
Yeah. Did you have the inkwell? Did you guys use the inkwell?
Yes.
You did.
So. Yes.
What's that?
That goes way back. That's way back.
Before ballpoint pens.
Yeah.
Inkwell. Okay.
You had to you had to put the pen.
With the feather?
Yes.
No,
did you have a feather?
No.
Did you have candles too?
No candles. We had lights.
Oh, okay.
The Constitution.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. But it's funny how so many things happen in those years during the 40s.
Right.
And I look back on the 70s, now that I'm in my 70s, and where did this time go? All of time. Yeah. It goes fast.
Sure.
But when I was in grammar school, it didn't.
Well, yeah.
It's just, you learn so much.
Right.
You go from being almost a baby.
Right.
Until an adult, you're out of grammar school. And I thought, where does it all go? I don't know.
It's amazing, isn't it?
But now, it is.
But when you were in grammar school, if I remember right, you weren't allowed to play with the other kids, right? Isn't that the truth? The nuns kept you inside the classroom? You got to ring the bell or something.
That was in my later years, the 7th and 8th grade.
Why did they keep you away from the rest of the students? I mean, I
there probably
I
was
know,
a good
but...
reason. No, she wanted me to, I think she wanted me to be a nun.
Sister's pet, yeah.
Do this stuff, ring the bell.
Stop beating up on all the other kids.
Right? I know. But actually, it was not good for me to be separated from them. Not really.
No.
Because I was too quiet anyhow.
But you were the smart one, right?
Yeah, she was smart.
No, because you read the dictionary, from what I understand. Didn't you tell me that once?
Yeah, when I would read anything, I would see words that I wasn't sure what they were, and it slowed up my reading.
Yeah,
because I kept looking up words.
Well, that's what's hurt the radio show, to be honest. Since you've left, because we don't have anybody to refer to. when we need help with
a word,
our English is rather poor.
Oh,
Tony and Christina are totally useless.
No.
Well, see, I'm the youngest one, so I don't know better.
Yeah.
Right, there you go. Yeah. No, no, that's good. But time goes so fast, doesn't it?
Oh, I can't believe
it's
it.
It's amazing. When you're a child, you know, from... Although I don't know, because I... You know, you talk to... I like to talk to the kids, you know. I ask them questions, because I always wonder... I wonder what is the world like for them today? Because it really is different. Mm-hmm. You know, they have all the gadgets we didn't have, you know, even in our day, in my day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in your day. Well, how can you imagine? But the because you guys had car, you had automobiles at that. You had cars and all.
Yeah,
that.
You had to crank them up, Father.
Right, you did.
Wow. No.
Wow. But did you own a car, your family?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's not really an absurd question, because a lot of people, especially in Chicago.
Didn't have cars.
You didn't have cars because you didn't. In fact, you know, you look at all the churches, they didn't have parking lots.
No.
Because first of all,
people lived in the neighborhood.
But, yeah, so there was. But you
no,
had,
we always had a car.
You had a car. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because you, in fact, didn't. Wasn't it? Yeah, I remember
Joe.
Now. Come to think
old
about
Uncle
that.
Joe, right?
Your uncle.
Yes.
What happened there?
Well, my dad was always grabbing the wheel when he was teaching me how to drive. He wanted to grab the wheel and say, "Don't do that." You know, if I'm sitting in the car by myself, and you're not there to grab the wheel, what am I going to do?
Right.
So Uncle Joe said, "Okay, Ed, you sit in the back seat. I'll sit in the back seat, and Jerry will drive." And you will not tell her what to do,
right.
And you will not grab the wheel. And so he trusted me to do that.
And then you got your license.
But you, yeah, now something,
the
that's
license.
The point
something
I want to make.
Something happened
with
the license.
I know what you wanted to do.
Yeah, there was your first major offense of your long life way back when.
Right. My dad knew how nervous I was about going for the driving test. And I said, but I was 15 when I started to drive, and I wanted to get my license. So my good Uncle Joe came through for me, and in the city of Chicago, which is, you know, a sneaky place,
right?
He got my license for me. I never went for the driver's test. And that's...
She had connections.
I had connections.
and you confessed that. I mean, that's you've repented of that.
I've repented of that, yeah. Yes.
Confession Tuesday.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, anyway... yeah, geez. Well, happy birthday.
Happy
That's
birthday.
All I can say.
So
happy birthday.
Thank
We're
you.
Happy you're here. Wow. What do you think of the world today? What's going on?
It doesn't bother me as much as I think it bothers other people, only because I've been through a lot more things than you have. And I think back to when I was a child.
Does that make you a better person than
no,
me?
No, not
you,
better.
You directed that at me.
Seasoned. Wisdom.
Not better, but just it's different.
You're
it's
wiser.
Different. Because
no, you're right.
My dad left to go in the service when I was like 7 years old. That's hard. And I wasn't afraid. I knew he'd be back because he said he would. And I believe that. But when you have the war going on and you don't know, there are so many uncertainties,
sure.
It can be frightening. And yet we survived that.
Survived.
Went through it. He came back home. We went back to living a family life again.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And I thought of that immediately when you talked about you actually going through grade school in the 40s.
Yes.
For some reason, I thought it was in the 20s or in the teens, but I didn't realize it wasn't. So we're not going that far back.
Not quite, no.
But you know, in all seriousness, sometimes we look around and we say, geez, what has happened today? What's going on in the world? And there is cause for concern. There has to be.
Of course.
Cause for concern, because the world has become very, very small. And when you think of the sophistication of technology and what we have today that you didn't have back in your day,
mm-hmm.
But even then, you know, the sophistication of weaponry but you think about all the stuff that preceded and led to the Second World War, even going back to the First War, and people had to think at that time that this was the end of the world, or this was the world had gone completely mad. And just the millions of people, I mean, literally millions of people that perished.
Right.
During that time in various parts of the world. And then, of course, the atom bomb and all that. I mean, actually, thinking about that, can you think back as to what you thought about at that time?
I was very disturbed when we did that with the bomb at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I thought, why are we doing this? My dad was still in the service. He hadn't come home yet, but I thought, why would you destroy all these people? And the word was, well, because the war will be over sooner. That's not an excuse for killing people. So I never accepted what we did at that point. We were in charge. We were able to do it, but it was wrong.
Yeah, God forbid that we would. I mean, we pray to God that nothing, such an atrocity wouldn't happen.
I know.
Again, I know there's this situation now in Israel and the Gaza Strip.
Right.
Certainly, Israel is being criticized now because of the civilian casualties. But you know, what is Israel supposed to do? I mean, you know, nobody wants such. I mean, none of that for anybody.
Mm-mm.
But Hamas has used the people as human shields.
Yes.
You know, and so what do you do? You know, you got to protect your own people. I tell you that things are very, very complex and very war. I guess I'm more and more thinking this is just one of these sad realities of life. And we're gonna take a break, but we're gonna come back to the situation. Well, we can go all over the place here, but the situation in. I want to come back to the situation in Iraq, the Christians in Iraq.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. I was reading The Office today. I know you pray the Liturgy of the Hours, and I was really struck by the psalm, the beginning of the psalms for today's readings, but also the reflection, the little discourse by St. Ignatius of Antioch.
Ooh,
so we're going
yes.
back to the earliest days of the Church. But I thought it was, as I was praying, it's something that really powerfully struck me, and I want to share that with you when we get back as well from the break. And today, by the way, is the feast of what? Saint Mary Magdalene.
Right.
Right.
Your
you
favorite.
Were born on the feast of Saint Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
Was that providential or not? What does that mean?
For many years, I thought it was a shame that she had to have her feast day on my birthday, because at that point, she wasn't really called Saint Mary Magdalene. It was Mary Magdalene. And
really?
And I thought, this is the woman who had seven devils and all the bad things she did.
Yeah.
You know, why would they make a saint out of her? That was my thought.
Right.
And well, now I'm tuned in with her completely.
But why did they make a saint out of her?
She recognized, she was the first person to see Jesus when he rose from the dead. And she really was a very holy person. And all the things that were said about her, probably some of them were true, but not necessarily all of them.
The point is, I think the beauty is, because she really experienced a profound and powerful conversion.
Yes.
And her, especially the reading from today, the gospel, just one of the most beautiful gospel readings, the encounter she has with the risen Christ. And so we'll look at that before as well. But I would take a great... great pride in the fact that you're born on the feast of Saint
yes.
Mary Magdalene. And she was there at the cross.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Mm-hmm. She was one of the few who walked Jesus all the way to the cross. Mm-hmm. She was there. So a wonderful, wonderful saint. And a source of great solace, mm-hmm. consolation mm-hmm. for many who have found themselves in difficult situations, in very sinful situations, but... she's a witness to the fact that no matter where we've been, no matter what we've been into, you know, that if we but turn our gaze to God, then indeed we find liberation, mm-hmm. freedom,
yes.
mm-hmm. peace, and joy.
It's like that saying, every saint has a future, and every sinner has a future, every saint has a past.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who said that? Somebody said that.
Somebody said it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I'm glad you remember that. So, all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and let's look at the... again, a little bit of the situation in Iraq, the Christians, the atrocity that's been done to them, and the readings today. I think the psalm today is I can picture them praying this psalm today. So we'll be right back, everybody. We're happy to have Jerry here on her birthday, Geraldine. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen and Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Christ gave Sister Faustina Kowalska the gift of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and pray with us. Visit sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org for the complete schedule of Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and the recitation of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, corner of Evergreen and Noble. That's two blocks north of Division on Evergreen, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Christ is waiting. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I'm Father Thomas Hoya, and I'm inviting you to the best ever Prairie Fest.
Friday through Sunday, August 8th through the 10th. Friday night, it's Maggie Speaks.
I'm back and I'm holding, she's smiling, she's living, she's golden, she lives for me.
Then Sunday evening at 7:30, Prairie Fest celebrates 50 years of the Beatles and the British Invasion with American English.
It was 20 years ago today, such a river took the band to play.
Then on Sunday, August 10th at Prairie Fest, polka all day long. At 11 a.m., Polka Generations starts the day, followed by Eddie Carosa Jr. and the Boys from Illinois. Local favorite Harvest Moon plays on Saturday at 4. Prairie Fest with free admission, food, $10,000 raffle, children's games, and so much more. On the Prairie at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wheel Cook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Details at ByzantineCatholic.com. Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 8th through the 10th.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Boy, that makes you just want to get up and dance, doesn't it? That
Prairie music? Fest is so cool. Yeah.
It is nice.
You guys went to there. Yeah.
Yes, we go.
And was it Harvest Moon? Those guys are great.
Yeah, I'd be there if I weren't so busy. Yeah. You know, some of us have to work, Tony, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, when is that?
It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday,
This weekend.
No,
it's in August.
Yeah, August.
I just was listening to the music.
Mm-hmm. Probably the second week in August.
All right. Anyway. Okay, so we're here on this... good Tuesday, a happy Tuesday,
because
Geraldine is here and
yes,
on her birthday. And what time are you born now?
About 7:10 in the morning.
7:10 in the morning, so
yeah.
You're a morning
person. Morning,
you're
a morning person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was born early, too.
Somehow it seems to me you were born drinking coffee for some reason. I don't know, because you know you drink...
or something else.
Or something else.
Or something else. Happy. No, I'm just kidding.
Anyway, happy.
Anyway, let's switch gears over here. So get our attention away from the birthday girl.
Yes.
The birthday lady.
Mm-hmm.
The atrocities being done to people all over the world. And mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, and I tell you, I was praying this morning about this and about the Christians in Iraq, still very conscious of this, the people who were lost their lives in that the downing of the Malaysian airline. Those bodies have now been collected and are being returning to, I think, to Amsterdam. But you just can't even imagine the suffering on the part mm-hmm. of the family members and all that. But we've got this other crisis as well in Iraq, the Islamic State, I guess it's called the Islamic State, the jihadist, the terrorist, whatever you want to call them. But it's an impending genocide. And thank God, you know, for the Near Eastern press, because the Western leadership hasn't much to say about it, really.
No.
Not much to say about it. The press coverage is rather thin, but the last Christians in northern Iraq are fleeing from places where their communities have lived for almost 2,000 years from the very beginning.
Wow.
From the very beginning, as a deadline has passed for them to either have to convert to Islam, pay a special tax, or to be killed, one of the three, and one of Christendom's oldest and deepest roots is being ripped from an ancient garden, these people. And even among so-called Christian nations, there doesn't seem to be much of a concern,
mm-hmm.
really. We seem to be unchallenged by this atrocity. And for what reason? You know, maybe people feel inadequate to the task of pleading on the behalf of these Christians. They believe that any engagement in their defense would bring them into a larger conflict that they're unwilling to face. You know, nations going to the aid of these people. Maybe it's just that they you know, fling their hands to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lack of imagination, a misunderstanding of what is really happening. We don't know, but the fact is that this is an atrocity. And these are, as I said, this is an ancient Christian world. They precede the Muslims by hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
some of the churches, ancient churches, going back 1,800 years, have been destroyed. Monasteries, ancient monasteries. The people, I was reading this morning that the Christians, as they're being, I mentioned yesterday that they mark the Islamic State, the jihadist, mark the homes of all the Christians with an N, Nazareans, to identify them as Christians. And so they're going through and they're either they have to convert to Islam, as I said, they have to pay a hefty fine, and that's rather precarious as it is, or they're going to be killed.
Oh my.
And many have been killed as it is. When they leave, they take nothing with them. They can't take their cell phones. They can't take any of their gadgets. Mm-hmm. Nothing goes with them. You know, even the monks that were, their monastery was confiscated, an mm-hmm. ancient monastery. They left only with what was on their back, only the clothes they wore on their back.
They had to leave everything behind.
Leave everything.
I even heard that last night I heard that the last mass that was celebrated was back in June.
Is that right? Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. The bishop says there's no more. He has no one. There's nobody.
No.
They're being decimated.
Yes.
So anyway, I was praying this morning. This was very much on my mind. You know, this is along with the as I say the crisis in Ukraine, the crisis in Israel and the Gaza Strip, the crisis on the border. You think of and you know what's interesting too is the crisis in Nigeria. That has really, there's so much going on that a lot of this stuff just gets buried. And mm-hmm. you know, whatever happened to those girls that were Christian, yes, here too, these Christians. Were Christian girls yeah. abducted.
Yeah.
The boys, by the way, what happened to the boys? The boys were just put to death. I was talking to somebody the other day and they were just telling me about giving me some more details about the situation in Nigeria. You know, I mentioned, I think it was in Kenya during the World Cup, that the terrorist, the jihadist, as the people were watching in their homes, the World Cup, they went from home to home, and all the Christian men were put to death, you know. But the boys in Nigeria, whereas the girls have been abducted, the boys are just put to death, immediately just shot dead, put to death, or mm-hmm. macheted to death. The girls have been abducted, and there was early on the forced being forced into conversion to Islam. So you think about these situations, and then of course people in their own personal lives. But as I was reading the Psalms this morning, from the Liturgy of the Hours, I imagine the Christians in Mosul leaving, and that this is the prayer that must be on their lips. And it would seem to me that they're probably more attuned to the prayer than maybe many of ours, because I think we are. I'm making a judgment here, but I think Christianity in the West is very, very weak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a wake-up call. I think not just what's going on over there, because many people probably are not interested. They're just mm-hmm. too concerned about their own personal lives here and now.
And people don't think this could happen to us, too.
You better believe it.
And that's why we have to wake up.
I mean, the winds have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The winds mm-hmm. have changed. I mean, we've got to wake up.
Yes.
Because it's going to be too late. You know,
yeah.
It's the whole biblical story, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? People were out eating, drinking, they were merry, and then it caught them off guard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's really been the much of the readings this past Sunday. You know, mm-hmm. we talked about that yesterday, right? You know, how to make sense of this. What is it? Where is God? A caring God. How does he allow? Why does he permit? Because he permits. He allows it to happen. But always in view of the hope that there be conversion or repentance. And see, the wake-up call has to come to Christians who have to wake up and decide, you know, we are or we're not. We are who we claim to be
right.
or we are not. Now, as I said yesterday, it seems to be a badge of honor to say, well, I was mm-hmm. a Catholic. Or people may say, I believe in God. But where's the witness?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the witness? Where's the evidence that we're believers? You know,
mm-hmm.
if our lives are no different from that of
anybody else,
we compromise, we cave in. As I say so often, you know, and I just think this is the case. This is we're living under the dominion of pop culture. not under the dominion of Christ Jesus. Otherwise, we'd see radical change in our society. And to the extent that the church is strong in her members, and that we're living the faith, adhering to the faith, then we have a force, a power to counter this darkness, this evil. Yeah. Because the light comes into the dark. No matter what happens, no matter how dark the dark is, the light is still more powerful because good will prevail. Evil does not prevail. But it does wreak havoc. I mean, the innocent are affected. Jesus didn't spare himself. As I said yesterday, he didn't spare himself. The incarnate God, you know. And that's why nobody can say, God doesn't understand. He doesn't know the suffering. He doesn't know my poverty. He doesn't know my sickness. He doesn't know what it is to be persecuted. He doesn't know what it is to be denied, to be rejected, to be betrayed. No, he suffered it. He suffered it all. This is the uniqueness of the our God, the incarnate God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus. And I say this every day, but we have to say that today because people have all these different notions of who God is or what God is. We've recreated God. We've made God out of our own image and likeness. No, we're created in the image and likeness of God. We have great potential, and that's why we allow the potter to mold the clay, and that our life journey is one of purification, transformation, sanctification. But there is no competition between God and Satan. Jesus is Satan, is the father of this, the father of lies and the prince of darkness. He's the prince of this world, and there is no competition. That's why we don't put ourselves in a posture where there's these competitive spirits. No, the victory has been secured. The kingdom has come, but it's not going to be fully realized until the end of time. But we have an obligation, a responsibility as Christians, to live our faith, which is absolutely beautiful, and is that we become the leaven, we become the salt, we become the light, and we become a power, a force that counters this darkness. But in any case, God, as we heard in the readings on Sunday, we talked about those yesterday, that God permits the light and the darkness to coexist. You think about a family, let's say a mother and a father who has a child who has gone astray. Let's say they've got the 8 children, and one or two have really gone astray, really gone down a bad path. I mean, well, you think of the story of the prodigal son, right?
Mm-hmm.
That parent is going to exercise great patience, waiting, In other words, don't wipe him out or her out. Don't do that. No, because I believe and I pray, I beg for the conversion, for the change of heart, for, that they be repentant, that they rejoin the family, And so God, as we heard in the reading, the book from the Book of Wisdom and even in the Gospel, God is patient, He's merciful, He's slow to anger, He awaits convert. But you gotta think, remember, God thinks eternity. We think the here and now, but we've gotta have the capacity. And if we're in God, then we're able to kind of peer into eternity, and so we understand, we see beyond the here and now, the present. And as I say so often, if we know where we're going, then we're committed to life. We're not going to flee. We're not going to go to the top of a mountain. We're not going to, build our own little kingdom here. We know the world is passing away. What do we do? Because we know our destiny, because we know that at the end of all things, there's a great good that awaits us. It has already come. It has already come, the kingdom within us. And we want to live in that kingdom, even if we're, in the trenches, even if we're fighting the good fight and we're weathering the storms, our solace, our consolation, our hope, is that God is within, and that we will not be defeated. And that's why goodwill will prevail. But in the meantime, in the interim, as evil seems to have the upper hand at times, or there is this. By the way, I wanted to clarify, because yesterday I didn't finish my thought. And I said, that if we deny God, God will deny us. That's what St. Paul said, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we deny God, God will deny us, because because He's not going to force us. He's not going to put a gun to our head and force us to respond, to submit, to surrender, to give of ourselves to life. Mm-hmm. If we choose to go our own way, I mean, He'll give us the grace. He'll do anything and everything. I mean, the incarnate God laid down his life. What more can I do to prove to you, you know, who I am and who you are, and how much I want you, and how much I need you, and how much I love you? You know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He cried from the cross, right? Yeah. And he even, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But in the next breath, he says, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he takes all this, our sin and everything, down into death, and he rises from that. He says, don't be afraid, be at peace, but stay with me. Stay with me, don't go away, because you belong to me, you are mine, you know? So if we deny him, but he denies us because he can't force us, that wouldn't be love,
no.
You know? But the St. Paul goes on to say, but if we're unfaithful, he remains faithful.
Yeah.
Always the Father waiting the return of the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter. You know, what have I said? That God is all-powerful, omnipotent, all-powerful. But there's one power he doesn't possess. There's one, in one area of his being, mm-hmm. he is powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that? He has not the power not to love us.
Right.
His love is a given, you know. And so he awaits. And he didn't spare himself anything. So that nobody can say, God doesn't know, he doesn't understand. No, he took it all to himself.
Yeah.
But he says, okay, you see the cross now, but you got to see beyond the cross into the glory and the light of the resurrection. But okay, but going back to the Christians who are fleeing, who have been persecuted, who have been put to death, being Christians, this would be their prayer. This would be the prayer that is on their mind, in their hearts, on their lips. Lord, why do you stand afar off and hide yourself in times of distress? This is Psalm 10. The poor man is devoured by the pride of the wicked. He is caught in the schemes that others have made. For the wicked man boasts of his heart's desires. The covetous blasphemes and spurns the Lord. In his pride, the wicked says he will not punish. There is no God. Such are his thoughts. You know, again, I go back to what Pope Benedict said, that the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers. So even as we stand against pop culture, you know, the wicked boasts of his heart's desires, the covetous blasphemes and spurns the Lord. There's so much of that going on today in our own society.
Mm-hmm.
But then you think of these people who are really suffering a very overt kind of persecution. Ours is a very subtle persecution. In his pride, the wicked says, he will not punish. How many, you hear this, don't, God won't punish? There is no God. Such are the thoughts of the wicked. His path is ever untroubled, seemingly. Your judgment is far from his mind. Doesn't think about the judgment of God. His enemies he regards with contempt. He thinks, never shall I falter. Misfortune shall never be my lot. His mouth is full of cursing, guile, and oppression, mischief and deceit under his tongue. He lies in wait among the reeds. The innocent he murders in secret. His eyes are on the watch for the helpless man. He lurks in hiding like a lion in his lair. He lurks in hiding to seize the poor. He seizes the poor man and drags him away. He crouches, preparing to spring, and the helpless fall beneath his strength. He thinks in his heart, God forgets. He hides his face. He doesn't see. You think about that, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Think about that. And so the person, again, I think of these Christians who are fleeing. Arise in, Lord, lift up your hand. Oh God, do not forget the poor, because they are poor. Everything has been taken away. Why should the wicked spurn the Lord and think in his heart he will not punish? But you have seen the trouble and sorrow. You note it. You take it in hand. The helpless trusts himself to you, Almighty God, for you are the helper of the orphan. Break the power of the wicked and the sinner. Punish his wickedness till nothing remains. Oh, yes, the Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen shall perish from the land he rules. Lord, you hear the poor, the prayer of the poor. You strengthen their hearts. You turn your ear to protect the rights of the orphan and oppressed, so that mortal men may strike terror no more. Help, O Lord, for the good men have vanished. Truth is gone from the sons of men. Falsehood they speak, and one to another, with lying lips, with a false heart. May the Lord destroy all lying lips. Anyway, it goes on and on, but can you get this sense of, you know, the prayer, even if it's not known, if the psalm isn't known, that these got to be, this has to be the sentiments of these people who are fleeing, having, you know, their lives are, and they've, you know, just think about it. But even, and I'm saying, even in our own society, in our own society, for those who have sensitivity to God and to all things sacred, to the things of God, and to know the beast we're up against in many ways, that yeah, there is no God, there is no, he's not going to punish. And you know, it's not that the emphasis is on the punishment of God. Remember that first reading, that God is lenient, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger, he's merciful, he awaits the return of his people. He gives sufficient grace and sufficient time. But when his power is denied, then his power will be made manifest. In other words, there, and this was the gospel, and this will be the gospel again this coming Sunday, there will come a day of reckoning. And we would be foolish not to live as if all thing is that all is fine and good, and I can do whatever I want, and I am not going to be held accountable to nobody but nobody, and not to God, and to think that, you know, there's not going to be consequences, or there's not going to be the day of reckoning. To think in such a way, and or to preach such a counsel, is not to preach the full counsel of God. It's a perversion and a distortion of the gospel message. You understand what I say? Mm-hmm. And this is the real danger of our day.
Yeah.
Is that we think we can go on as we are, and it's all going to be fine. Well, it's not going to be fine. Because God can leave us to our own design, and hopefully, when we hit rock bottom, we will have the humility to reach our hand into the hand of God. Because I tell you, when people, you know, deny God, this is going back to what St. Paul said, you know, what is it? What's at the root of this? But it's pride and it's arrogance. It's a lack of humility. You know, this is no badge of honor to say I'm not a believer or I'm not a, you know, no, it's... But we who bear the faith, bear his name, we have to pray that, you know, God, give us the grace, give us the means to live this in a way that is profound. Let us give authentic witness and let us tend to the needs of our brothers and sisters. So when we come back, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to look at the words of St. Ignatius in the readings, because it's just unbelievable what he says. I think a real challenge for us in our time. And this is, think about this, is almost 2,000 years ago. That he spoke these words, and from the very area, from the very place where these Christians are being persecuted, where they're fleeing, you know? And then what can we do? It's a question, what can we do? So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Abemus Papam.
A year after the historic conclave, and everybody is still talking about Pope Francis. But what does Pope Francis have to say for himself? Find out by reading Joy of the Gospel. In this document, Pope Francis speaks to every member of the church. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read, "Wherever the disciples went, there was great joy. Why should we not also enter into this great stream of joy?" I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment to a renewed encounter with Jesus Christ.
The Joy of the Gospel by Pope Francis comes in a handy paperback and is available in English and in Spanish from Pauline Books and Media, 172 North Michigan Avenue in downtown Chicago. Bulk rates are available so you can share this wonderful message with others. Call the Daughters of St. Paul at 312-346-4228 to place your order. That's 312-346-4228.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this Good Tuesday. Good Tuesday for us, but not a good Tuesday for others. You know, you got to think about people in other parts of the world. You know, even though it's we can joyfully celebrate your birthday, Geraldine, and we do joyfully celebrate, and we're happy to have you here in the studio. But we're ever conscious of the fact that the world is in turmoil, in crisis, and so we thank God. You know, we can have a respite. You know, as people, even in war-torn situations, in situations of poverty and you know, we need a respite. We need healthy, holy celebration, you know. And certainly we find a respite every time we come to celebrate the sacred mysteries of our faith. We participate in the Holy Mass. And in fact, we never come as entities unto ourselves, you know. Everybody's got their own issues, their own problems, their own sufferings, you know. It could be something going on in the head, something in the family, something in the heart, something in the body, sickness, whatever it might be. We all, we bring our own poverty, our own suffering, our own sickness, our own anguish. We bring it every time we come. We come, first of all, because we, as the psalmist, and this would be the prayer on the lips and the heart and the mind of those who are being persecuted, who are fleeing. You know, begins with the question, where is God? Why do you stand so far away and hide yourselves in this time of distress? But then they don't despair because they're reminded that God is with them and that God will see them through and that even in death, they're not defeated. I mean, this is what enables us to, you know, the cardinal said this the other day quite profoundly, you know, that we don't fear suffering and death, those of us who have faith, but what we do fear is the powers and the principalities that can take from us our freedoms, our liberties, you know, to practice and to live and to be faithful to our mission, which is a mission to all people, you know, to bring the good news to others and to tend to the needs of others, you know. In any case, when we come to Mass, you know, we come as, certainly as individuals, but in communion, the sacred assembly, you know. But not just a sacred assembly gathered for this specific Mass in this specific church, whereby we come in gratitude because even with the distress and the anguish, we have cause for hope because we're not defeated and good will prevail. But we come also then in communion with others, and that and the sacred assembly envelops the entire world, the whole Christian world, the whole Catholic world, as the church celebrates these sacred mysteries every day. And we bring the good and the bad and the happy and the sad and the light and the darkness and the life and the death, we bring it all. We bring, we offer to thee on the altar in union with Christ, through Christ to the Father, those who are not only the victims but also the perpetrators of the violence, the sick and the poor and the, we bring it all. So we should be conscious and aware of what's going on around us. Saint Ignatius of Antioch, today in the reading from the Divine Office, which is prayed by all the priests and the nuns throughout the world, the same readings, the same prayers, the same psalms, and the lay people as well. Geraldine, for instance, prays the office. St. Ignatius was born in 35 A.D., so he would, you know, we're going back to nearly 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. He died a martyr. He was a father of the church, a bishop, the Bishop of Antioch, and he addresses, you know, the ecclesiology, the meaning of the church, writes off about the sacraments, about the bishops and the priests and the deacons, and already we see the development or how the church is coming into her ordered life is coming into play. But he writes, he says, let us not be insensible to Christ's loving kindness. This is St. Ignatius of Antioch. For we had acted as we do, if we had acted as we do, we would have been lost indeed. Therefore, let us become his disciples and learn to live in the Christian way. This is a call that goes out to us today. We've got to wake up, people. As Catholics, we've got to be, we got to wake up. We're either in the, we're with him or we're against him. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, you know, you've got to declare yourself. He says, if you're either you're hot or you're cold, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. He says, you're with me or you're against me. You got to declare. You got to decide who you are, where you're going to go, who you're going to be with. You know, don't say I'm a believer, but go on living as if there's no evidence that
so you cannot serve two masters.
Can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. So those who are called by any other name are not of God. That's what St. Ignatius says. So cast out the evil leaven that has become old and sour and replace it with a new leaven, which is Jesus Christ. We need conversion to Christ. He must be the salt of your lives so that none of you may become corrupt, since it is by your wholesomeness that you will be judged. It is absurd to profess Christ with the lips and at the same time to practice some other. You know, for Christianity doesn't, and he speaks about Judaism. He says Christianity did not develop into faith in Judaism, but Judaism into faith in Christianity. We're born out of Christianity. We have no identity apart from, we're born out of Judaism. We have no identity apart from Judaism. Mm-hmm. It was in this that men of every tongue believed and were brought together with God in unto God. So he says, I do not write this to you, my dear friends, because I have heard that any of you is thus disaffected, but because, though I am a lesser man than yourselves, I would have you all guard against falling into the snares of false doctrine, which we've done in a big way today. Have a firm faith in the reality of the Lord's birth and passion and resurrection, which took place when Pontius Pilate was procurator. All these deeds were truly and certainly accomplished by Jesus Christ, who is our hope. May none of you ever be turned away from him. May you be my joy in all things, if I am worthy of it. For although I am in chains, he's preparing for his own martyrdom, I do not deserve to be compared with any of you who live in freedom. I know that you are not inflated with pride, for you have Christ Jesus within you. And I know that you blush when I praise you. As the scripture says, the just man is his own accuser. So take care then. Be firmly grounded in the teachings of the Lord and his apostles so that you may prosper in all your doings, both in body and in soul, in faith and in love, in the Son and in the Father and in the Spirit, in the beginning and in the end, along with your most worthy bishop, his spiritual crown, your priests, with your deacons, who are men of God. Be obedient to the bishop and to one another, as Jesus Christ was in the flesh to the Father, and the apostles to Christ, and to the Father, and to the Spirit, so that there may be unity in flesh and in spirit. I have exhorted you only briefly, for I am aware that you are filled with God. Remember me in your prayers, that I may attain to God. And this is what caught me this morning. And he says, and remember the church in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Is that amazing?
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And remember the church in Syria, from which I am unworthy to be called. How I need your mind, how I need your united prayer and love in God. Remember then the church in Syria. Did it be strengthened through your prayers?
Wow,
I think that's so providential, you know, to read that today in view of what's happening over there. So what do we do? This is where we're almost at the end of the show. I'm going to just continue. I'm not going to take another break because we're just at the end here. But there's five things we can do. This is in view of the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Iraq, who are being persecuted, who have been they have to. This is a Holocaust in the making,
mm-hmm.
right before our eyes, and yet if not for the Near East media, we wouldn't know about it, because the West gives very little attention to the crisis. There's a crisis all over the world right now. We're just focusing on this, but what can we do? Five things we can do as Christians. Light a candle. This is our tradition. I don't know if people realize why, but, you know, in the Judeo-Christian practice, there's this practice of lighting a candle at prayer, you know? prayer is begun with the lighting of a candle, and we allow the candle to burn in vigil, so that as we go about our daily work, you know, that candle is burning. The candle is burning. There's something beautiful about when you walk into the church and you see mm-hmm. the candles mm-hmm. burning. You know that there's and in fact, what we do often is we offer to God the petitions of these people who are burning these candles.
It also reminds you that Christ is the light.
Exactly. So no matter how dark the dark is, mm-hmm. this light is still more powerful. So light a candle. Go to the church. Light a candle. In other words, pray. Pray. Just as St. Ignatius said, pray. We got to believe, we must believe in the power of prayer. A prayer for these persecuted people who are losing everything. Mm-hmm. Their heritage is being destroyed. 2,000 years mm-hmm. of heritage is being destroyed.
Yeah.
You know? So we pray. Light a candle. Make a sacrifice. Offer it for the sake of these people. What can you do? You know, maybe resist the tonight's glass of wine. Turn off the television. Small sacrifices mm-hmm. done mindfully can make a difference, because a thought is a thing.
Right.
A small sacrifice, if we offer it intentionally for a greater good, is efficacious in battle. This is part of our spirituality. It's a spiritual warrior's grenade. No? We make sacrifice. We begin a fast. Got to return to fast, you know, and if you can't make an extreme fast, you know, do something, but believe in the efficacious power of fasting. It's a way of laying down your life for your friend, you know, because what can we do for these people over there? They're way mm-hmm. over. What we can do? This is just these are pray, light a candle, something very tangible, sacrifice, fast. Offer material assistance. Make a donation to the Catholic Near East Welfare Association, SNEWA. You know, there are people, priests, nuns, religious, working among the refugees, you know, putting their lives at risk. You can make a donation to the Catholic Near East Welfare Association. Just download it on your computer. Or write a letter. You know, ask, you know, to the government, to the congressman, to the Senate, whatever. Write a letter about your concern for these. Our brothers and sisters are Christians.
Yeah.
That certainly is. Does it mean we're not concerned about? No, we're concerned about all people, but I'm just saying this is a persecuted people.
Yeah.
They're being, well, we're out of time. This went pretty fast, the show.
It did. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Geraldine, thanks for being with us today, and happy
Thank
birthday.
You,
you know,
birthday,
our prayers
Jerry.
Are with you. And
thanks very much.
It's always a blessing and a joy to have you. Everybody, thanks so much for being with us. Let's light a candle. Light a candle. Sacrifice. Fast. Be of assistance to these people. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.